WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The ongoing government shutdown now entering its fourth week. Critical programs like SNAP, which provides food vouchers, are set to run out of funding, and furloughed workers, including the military, are facing hardships. George Metisic is the executive director of the Philadelphia-based Share Food Program and has more on the challenges.
What's different than this and the pandemic is you had bipartisan support and a number of programs that came in to help support food banks like Share Food Program in 2020 in a bipartisan way. This time, it's like a horror movie where the call's coming from within the House. Our own federal government is choosing this.
President Trump is pressing for his Justice Department to pay roughly $230 million as a settlement for investigations he faced during the Biden administration and his first term in office. Sources familiar with the matter confirmed to ABC News. OpenAI launching its own browser called Atlas. It's all to compete with Google's Chrome. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has filed an appeal to a Waukesha County Circuit Court decision requiring the Wisconsin Elections Commission to review the state's voter rolls. The October 6th decision gave the commission just 5 months to determine if any non-citizens are registered to vote in the state using Department of Transportation data. Attorney General Call's appeal argues that state law does not require proof of citizenship to register to vote, and the decision risks disenfranchising eligible voters who don't have readily available proof of citizenship. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles is sharing tips with residents to highlight National Teen Driver Safety Week. According to a press release, traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for teens in the United States. Wisconsin saw nearly 19,000 crashes involving teen drivers last year, leading to 70 fatalities and nearly 6,000 injuries. DOT officials are reminding parents that proper training and practice for young drivers is crucial for safety, and the DMV's online teen portal offers various resources for driver safety programs. The Wisconsin and Minnesota Departments of Transportation held a joint public meeting on Monday regarding the upcoming Blatnik Bridge reconstruction project. DOT officials say they're currently finishing up improvements to the Richard I. Bong Bridge and working on relocating some area businesses in anticipation of the long-awaited project. They say current plans for the project have the Blatnik Bridge being taken down in the winter of 2026 or early 2027. The rebuilding process is expected to last 4 years, wrapping up in October of 2031. The Ashland Police Department has announced a suspect was arrested on Saturday after allegedly making terrorist threats and bomb scares. According to law enforcement authorities, the suspect called the Superior Choice Credit Union location just before noon on Saturday, claiming that he had placed a possible explosive device in his own safety deposit box. Authorities brought in the Marathon County Bomb Squad to examine the building, which determined that there was no explosive device. The suspect was booked into the Ashland County Jail soon after. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers prepare for Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers play the Steelers this week on Sunday night. Matt LaFleur asked about running back Josh Jacobs demanding to get back in the game against the Cardinals Sunday despite a strained calf muscle.
Yeah, he's a grown man. There's no doubt about it. What he says is always backed up by his actions, and I think that's number one on top of the list of what you need to be in order to be a great leader.
Baseball, the Blue Jays beat the Mariners 4-3. To advance to the World Series, Game 1 will be Friday night in Toronto against the Dodgers. Doc Rivers was asked if he still goes golfing with his friend, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts.
We plan on golf a lot. We never actually get to do it much. But the Brewers, they had an amazing year. And if you're going to lose, you lose to the most historic game in Major League history. And that's how they lost.
That's the Bucks, Doc Rivers, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9, WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy night tonight, breezy at times, showers around, cold with lows in the mid-30s. Lots of clouds for tomorrow, still some showers around and staying chilly, highs in the low 40s. Warming through the rest of the week, into the weekend. It's 42 right now.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, and it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please, something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, Ellie Bordeaux will tell us what she's been putting in our daily newsletter at Up North News. And from Civic Media, Earl Ingram from the What's Going On podcast.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
They wish to break the entire thing. That is the objective. It isn't about efficiency. It's about breaking it. And it's about breaking it for what end?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Gerrymandering is bad for everybody.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I'm grossly discouraged, and I have given up on any justice in our system. It doesn't exist anymore.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Keep hope alive. We're doing it every day from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on this program. Remember, you can find us wherever you get your favorite podcasts. If you miss our live broadcasts, you can find those at civicmedia.us/shows, of course, on Apple Pods as well as Spotify. And tell all of your friends in the southeastern Wisconsin area, we've got a brand new Big FM channel, 100.3 FM. You can hear us clear as a bell. So join us every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. because we get to talk to incredibly unheralded heroes and thinkers and researchers like the gentleman that is my very next guest. Now, I am happy to report that he is no longer unheralded. He is one of Wisconsin's two MacArthur Grant Foundation award recipients this year. His name is Angel Adames Koralitza. I hope I got that mostly right. He is the UW-Madison Associate Professor and Chair of the Climatology, Atmospheric, and Ocean Sciences. That is the Ned P. Smith Distinguished Chair. Want to give those donors their due who established the endowed chairs. Congratulations, Angel, and welcome to the show. I'm so extremely happy for you. Quite an honor you've received.
Thank you. It feels like I've been transported to a completely different dimension, but it's a great pleasure to be here.
It's a good dimension to be in. Folks, if you're unfamiliar with the MacArthur Foundation, they give these fellowships out every year. They go to writers and artists, social scientists, hard scientists, teachers, business owners, entrepreneurs, a whole wide range of folks. And to be considered for this, you're nominated anonymously, which, as I understand it, you get a random phone call, and sometimes they even have to engage in a little cloak and dagger to get people to pick up these calls so that the MacArthur Foundation folks can be like, you just got a great big fellowship to help you study what is your life's work. How did they let you know about your award? And did you have any idea that this was happening?
No idea that this was happening. I was definitely one of those cloak and dagger people. I was tricked. I got an email from them that they wanted to talk to me about tropical weather and climate because of some stuff that they were doing. And so I had no idea what was going on. I told my partner. I got nervous because I was like, oh, it's the MacArthur Foundation. You know, they must be doing something serious. But I didn't think that I was going to be a fellow. And it's funny. My partner told me, it's like, oh, did she just give you money? you know, and I was like, oh, but I just don't think that's what's going to happen. I think that they're just doing some kind of nonprofit thing and just want to talk to me. But it turned out when I got the phone call that they were going to give me the fellowship and I was coming with money. And I was like, what? And my brain melted. And I don't remember anything else, to be honest with you.
What an incredibly amazing phone call to get. These fellowships are $800,000. It is no strings attached money. It is given to these folks. Again, there's this major anonymous nomination process. They go through all of these panels of review. And it's basically to help people, again, pursue their life's work in these given fields. And again, you have to be extraordinarily talented. You have to have creativity. It is really an acknowledgement of not just your work to date, but your potential as a major contributor to basically, and I don't mean to sound too metaphoric about this, to human understanding and collective knowledge. So again, Angel, like, congratulations from the bottom of my heart. I was so thrilled to see that two Wisconsin researchers got the grant this year.
Yeah, it's been crazy. And I understand that I think University of Wisconsin is the only institution that got two this year. So yeah, props to us. We're great.
Quite an honor. The University of Wisconsin, Madison, my alma mater, it's an R1 research institution. It is so well known for so many areas of study. And it really, it's a credit to everyone who calls themselves a Wisconsinite. Thank you for pointing out the fact that UW-Madison stood alone in this grant award cycle as a university that had two recipients. Tell folks a little bit about what your area of expertise is and what you have been researching and studying.
Yeah, so in short, I am a tropical meteorologist. I study the weather and climate of the tropical latitudes. And I'm actually one of maybe a handful of scientists who does theory observations and also looks at model output. So I do a lot of the math and physics of trying to understand what drives tropical weather patterns, everything from the clouds all the way to the planetary scale. You name it, I probably looked at it.
Well, and the interesting thing here is, you know, I was reading recently, and I'm going to just specifically talk about weather forecasting for a moment. We're going to bring it back to your area of study in a moment. You know, weather folks get this tongue-in-cheek, oh, they get it right, maybe they get it right half the time. Turns out, at least in the before times, weather forecasters got it right about 80% of the time, which I think is really key. And in this age of climate change, where we're seeing weather patterns and climate-related events, natural disasters, things that folks have to prepare for, happening much more frequently and with much greater acuity, researchers like yourselves, as well as the meteorology, are really hand in hand to try to help people not be caught off guard by these things. And I wanted to just briefly ask you, how impactful is one of these MacArthur Genius Grants for a researcher like yourself? This administration has been ruthless in basically attacking research as well as federal grants that help fund research in our institutions of higher education, both private and public. This must be a life changer in terms of what you can pursue in your given area of expertise.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think in different times, this would have been like, it still is a shock, right? But like, I think in previous times, like, it would have been somewhat different in that, like, it would have opened to a lot of new windows for things. But the reality is that in the current era that we're in, before I got the call, my plans were to just cut back on my research because the funding isn't there. I hadn't gotten any grants removed. I've known other people that have, but I didn't see the point in applying for grants when you know that the money is not going to be there, or that they were just going to find a way to like not give it to you anyways. And so I was planning on rolling back and kind of going into like hibernation mode. And so now I get to stand privileged amongst many of my colleagues because I can actually continue doing the research because I got the MacArthur Fellowship. But the reality for the majority of weather and climate scientists is that the amount of money is getting cut back. You know, I mean, you can always hope that things are going to change and it won't be as bad, but it looks bad, you know, and it's been bad. And now I can explore. I still am thinking of exploring new ideas, but the plan was to cut back and now I'm not going to cut back. And that's really what's going to happen.
Thank goodness for that. I'm so happy to hear that for you. But I remain extraordinarily worried for us, literally all of us, because this is the type of, again, innovation, ingenuity, the creativity, moving into new areas, expanding knowledge base, expanding those research areas that are basically now in peril. And folks, if you're just joining us, let me just reset a bit. We're with one of the University of Wisconsin-Madison's two MacArthur Genius Grant Award recipients for this year. It is given to people who have both established themselves in their life's work, but also show incredible promise and creativity for future developments. It is a life-changing amount of money. It is no strings attached. It lets people do what they do best in various areas of study. His name is Professor Angel Adames Koralitza. Again, he's an associate professor at UW-Madison focusing on climatology. You mentioned something that I thought was really interesting. I don't think many people understand the mathematics, the physics that go into an area of study like yours, as well as just basic meteorology and forecasting. It is all math. It is all very complex models. Tell us a little bit about that in as much of layperson approachable terms, and how this helps us understand and prepare for the impacts of climate change, weather readiness, the applications that actually impact folks' lives.
Yeah, so let's talk about like the weather forecasting models, right? Because I think that's the stuff that's more tangible to people.
Yes.
Because that's the stuff that you look at your phone, you get up, you look at the forecast, right? So forecasts are actually made by what we call weather forecasting models. They're like computer code. And they're usually run on the world's most powerful computers. Like, it takes that much power to run a weather forecast model because the planet is incredibly complex. Clouds are incredibly complex. Winds, pressure, all these things are complicated. They're interacting with each other. So it takes a ton of computer power in order to create a weather forecast. Same with a climate forecast. So all these models that are trying to tell us how our climate is changing, they're run in our strongest, most powerful computing systems on Earth. So what I do is that I try to extract what are like the basic processes that might control certain phenomena, for example. So how can we distill this to the most basic things so they can inform us as to what things are important so they can go back to the community, educate the community so they know what are the patterns that they should be looking out for, but also talk with the people who are running the models and doing the code building so we can get ideas on how to improve forecasts or improve climate projections.
One way to put this, and Angel, correct me if I am wrong, is you are one of the scientists and data scientists and physicists that help build the AI models so that the AI model is better. I think people think of AI as this like thing that exists, but you have to build it and you have to train it so that it produces robust outcomes. Your work helps feed that, helps us build those better AI models that helps all of us look at our phone and know whether it's going to rain or snow tomorrow. Is that too dumbed down? I don't want to do your work any disrespect. You are a MacArthur genius after all.
No, so actually, so the AI stuff is all new, right? It's been the
yes.
latest revolution in numerical weather prediction. It's way faster than the numerical models that take like enormous computer power that I was like talking about. These are things that can run extremely fast and efficiently, but they need to get trained with data. And so the stuff that I study, and I was actually at a conference earlier this year in Thailand because people in Southeast Asia are trying to build their own AI model, and they want to know what to train their AI models on. So they're bringing the people who kind of study the physical processes and be like, these are the key variables. You know, these are the key fields that you want to look at to maximize, you know, getting the most out of your training, for example. So even though I don't do any AI myself, I interact with the people who do the forecasting and help them understand what are the things that they should be looking at most carefully.
It's such incredibly important work. We're going to review some most recent headlines. We're also going to review what one of South Florida's most beloved meteorologists said just a few months ago about whether or not his viewers can continue to rely on his weather forecasts and why it remains important for all of us to encourage our federal government to fund researchers like my special guest, Professor Angel Adames Corralitza of the UW-Madison Climate Department, and again, MacArthur Genius Grant Award recipient. Don't go anywhere. Our conversation continues on the other side.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Transform your bathroom with the beautiful quality of Bath Planet. Bath Planet has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal, a symbol of quality and consumer confidence for over 100 years. And right now, for a limited time, you can upgrade your bathroom for 50% off installation or choose 18 months with no interest and no payments. But you need to call now. This special offer is only available by calling 800-329-4115. That's 800-329-4115. Call 800-329-4115 right now before the offer ends.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is, and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drug-to-driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. Boy, my Tuesday is flying by. I love talking to smart people. We have got a literal genius with us for the rest of this half hour. His name is Professor Angel Adames Corralitza. He's with the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He is their Ned P. Smith Distinguished Chair of Climatology, Atmospheric and Ocean Studies. As I noted, he is one of UW-Madison's two, count them, two MacArthur Genius Grant Award recipients for this year. I will begin again with my congratulations to you, Angel. And before the break, I promised our listeners that I would just review a handful of headlines just from October that are talking about impacts of climate. This is from the AP, October 14th. Rare October storm in Southern California prompts evacuations and causes freeway accidents. October 15th, also at the AP. La Nina conditions observed in the Pacific. It could cause a snowy winter in the Midwest. The Guardian, October 16th. Carbon dioxide from wildfires increases by 9% as climate change supercharges infernos. WAPO on October 16th, one of Alaska's biggest air shifts is now underway after massive storm. I talked about that yesterday a bit. Houston Chronicle, October 16th, cold front arrives in Houston on Tuesday. Here's how far temperatures could drop. And the UN agency says CO2 levels hit record high last year, causing more extreme weather. Wanted to play a brief clip of one of South Florida's most beloved meteorologists who's been on the TV for 34 years. This is a guy that everybody knows. They would recognize him on the street. They trust him. Listen to what this guy said about this administration's cut to research, cuts to NOAA, and basically attack on science.
As you've grown accustomed to my presentations over my 34 years in South Florida newscasts, confidently, I went on TV and I told you, it's going to turn. You don't need to worry. It is going to turn. And I am here to tell you that I am not sure I can do that this year. Because of the cuts, the gutting, the sledgehammer attack on science in general, and I could talk about that for a long, long time, and how that is affecting the U.S. Leadership in science over many years, and how we're losing that leadership, and this is a multi-generational impact on science in this country, all right? But specifically, let's talk about the federal government cuts to the National Weather Service and to NOAA. Did you know that Central and South Florida National Weather Service offices are currently basically 20 to 40% understaffed? From Tampa to Key West, including the Miami office, 20 to 40% understaffed. Now, this type of staffing shortage is having impacts across the nation because there's been a nearly 20% reduction in weather balloon releases, launches, that carry those radio sons. And what we're starting to see is that the quality of the forecasts is becoming degraded.
We're going to post a longer clip of that in our show notes for today so people can look at it. Angel, if you will you explain to people what's going on with the weather balloons, if you don't mind? And secondly, that there is actually an international consortium of what I'm going to call weather and climate scientists that work together on these massive forecasting models. Tell us a little bit about how all this works.
Yeah, so the cuts of the weather balloons, so the weather balloons are made with hydrogen and they're with latex, and they have all these instruments called the radio sondes. They're actually quite pricey. So you have to have a decent budget in order to access them. So getting funds cut for them means that you can't actually send as many. And they're this essentially the backbone of our weather forecast models, because they're the observations that go into our weather forecasting model. So they're like the ground truth. We also use satellite data. The satellite data is the biggest amount of data that we have, but we calibrate our satellite data with radio sounds observations too. So losing that is a big loss. The speaker didn't talk about the potentially even bigger problem that we're going to start losing our satellite constellations, which is the backbone, again, like I said, also the backbone of weather forecasting. And there's no plans to replace a lot of these satellites either.
It's so shocking to me. It's just the absence of the information. I've bemoaned the fact that we still talk about 100-year and 1,000-year floods based on data and modeling from the 70s, that those words don't have any meaning anymore. This is sort of like the latest iteration. We've got about 2 minutes left. Angel, if you're just joining us, we're with one of Wisconsin's two MacArthur Genius Grant Award recipients. He is Associate Professor Angel Adames-Koralitza out of UW-Madison. Talk to the people out there. Tell them why what you do and what scientists do writ large is so important to public health, safety, and wellness overall in every state of the union.
I mean, what I do is just learn, right? And write what we learn and send it out. Our money is using taxpayer, we pay with using taxpayer money. You know, everybody deserves knowledge, like it shouldn't be something that's prevented from being part of everybody's knowledge base. What I try to do is to communicate what I know, what I understand, and use that knowledge to improve weather and climate forecasts. So ultimately, I don't have an agenda, right? Like my agenda is to do my work, and the outcome of my work is to improve people's lives, So that's what it is. We try to make people's lives better by doing research.
Yeah, we make people's lives better by following research, by doing good research, by doing good objective science. That is how we make, whether it's forecasting models or flood risk reduction, floodplain models, robust and vigorous. And that benefits us all. That's why we need federal dollars supporting them. But Angel, personally, I am so glad and so proud to be from the state where you do your research, and so proud and happy for you that you are indeed a genius. I would love to have you back. We can talk about academia. We can talk more about your research, but congratulations to you, friend.
Oh, yeah. Happy to chat anytime. Just feel free to contact me once again. This has been a great pleasure.
Wonderful. When we come back, folks, I'm going to dig into Donald Trump not really giving a whit about farmers, but $20 billion, maybe $40 billion for Argentina. Make it make sense. Keep listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. A proposed bill that would require first responders to carry EpiPens received a public hearing in the Wisconsin State Legislature last week. The legislation was initially introduced in April with bipartisan support from lawmakers. In addition to requiring emergency medical responders, firefighters, conservation wardens, and more to carry the EpiPens, they would also be required to receive training on administering it. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services estimates equipping first responders with EpiPens would cost around $2.6 million per year. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting residents to celebrate Forest Products Week. According to a press release, the state's forestry industry generates an estimated $27 billion in goods each year and supports over 56,000 jobs, leading to a total economic impact value of over $41 billion. Forest Products Week is meant to recognize the workers who help sustain the crucial industry in the state. More information on the economic impact of Wisconsin's forestry industry is available on the DNR's website. A Bayfield County Meals for Seniors program has received $10,000 in funding to address gaps in emergency food supplies. The North Lakes Community Clinic 100 U Care Ashland and Bayfield Counties awarded the funds to the meals program after it won a community vote held in September. The program had previously been based at Northland College before the school's closure this year. The Bayfield County Department of Human Services now offers the program in partnership with the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. Volunteers working on the Ice Age Trail in northwest Wisconsin say they've completed a footbridge allowing hikers to avoid walking along State Highway 48. The new bridge crosses over the Straight River in Polk County, cutting out about a mile of the trail that required hikers to walk along the shoulder of Highway 48. Nearly 90 area volunteers contributed to the construction of the new bridge and say the project only took about 5 days to complete. That area of the trail now features a new 30-foot bridge with about 4,100 feet of brand new tread. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. The live part of Saturday Night Live can be a liability at times, as proven this past weekend. Sabrina Carpenter appeared on the show as the host and musical guest. The host side of Carpenter did fine, but the musical side dropped two F-bombs during her song Nobody's Son from her new album Man's Best Friend. Both F-words played live during the broadcast and on the Peacock simulcast, but after some editing, the West Coast saw the PG-13 version. Carpenter performed wearing a karate gi, but unfortunately they were not able to edit out her wardrobe. Here's one of Pete's picks. Roofman is worth a look. This well-reviewed action comedy is a true story about a man who breaks into McDonald's stores through the roof. Even after getting caught, he manages to escape prison and live in a Toys R Us for several months while making a plan to escape the country. The film stars Channing Tatum, Peter Dinklage, and Kirsten Dunst, and was a really fun watch with a really nice but not too preachy message. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy night tonight, breezy at times, showers around, cold with lows in the mid-30s. Lots of clouds for tomorrow, still some showers around and staying chilly, highs in the low 40s. Warming through the rest of the week, into the weekend. Currently 40 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
They were it. That's the ballgame.
Adrian Klenz is executive director of the Center for Deafblind Persons. Those cuts, those programs would be rolled into something else. Is there a group deafblind children could be folded into?
There is no other program. Those seven individuals have the specialized training to help those with dual sensory loss. There's no one else in the state of Wisconsin that has that training.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Robert Kennedy Jr. says America is under-babied. What can we do to encourage more Americans to become parents? Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're rejoining me. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I so love talking to nerds, and I mean that with a lot of love and respect. Big, big thank you to the professor from UW-Madison, who was just a recipient of their MacArthur Foundation Genius Grant, Angel Adames Corraliza. Thank you so much for making us all a little bit smarter. Suffice it to say, it should be a nonpartisan thing to fund good research at the university level. It should be a nonpartisan thing that you can't use the IRS to target your political enemies. It should be a nonpartisan thing that we probably should be spending more money studying climate and meteorology and not less. But, you know, so much for common sense. Listen, Donald Trump, in his campaign and in his inaugural address, constantly uses this phrase, this claim that he puts America first. He said this in his second inaugural address back in January. During every single day of the Trump administration, I will very simply put America first. That's not true. What he should have said is, I will put myself and my interests first, and I will break my oath to uphold and defend the Constitution every day. That would have been more accurate. But that's what he said. And so when you talk to small business owners and farmers about what the Donald Trump tariff, terror, taco nonsense is doing to them, it's not good. And farmers don't want bailouts. They just want to sell their crops. So the Trump administration has just pledged $20 billion U.S. taxpayer dollars, in other words, reached into your pocket, took some of the money that you made, and is now just giving it to Argentina. We can get into the whys in a moment, but I wanted to take a breath because, again, here's what he said. During every single day of the Trump administration, I will very simply put America first. So a reporter on Air Force One asked him about that and the $20 billion boondoggle giveaway to Argentina. And listen to how he responds.
The question is, what do you have to say to U.S. farmers who feel that the deal is benefiting Argentina more than it is them,
Argentina's fighting for its life, young lady. You don't know anything about it. They're fighting for their life. Nothing's benefiting Argentina. They're fighting for their life. You understand what that means? They have no money. They have no anything. They're fighting so hard to survive. If I can help them survive in a free world, I happen to like the president of Argentina. I think he's trying to do the best he can. But don't make it sound like they're doing great. They are dying. All right? They're dying.
Young lady, you don't know anything about it. I'm trying to save them. I like their president. By the way, their president is kind of like a wannabe Trump. The next time some conservative calls me up on the horn and starts deflecting or disrespecting or disinforming, I'm going to be like, young man, because they're always men. Young man, you don't know anything about it. And see how that lands. If I can't say that to a caller, why does the president of the United States get to address a reporter who's asking a completely legitimate question that way? And make note, it's always I. And in addition, I think there might be a few other countries, Ukraine, where people are dying and fighting for their lives. If that's the decision rule, where are the Tomahawk missiles, Mr. President? Where's the massive aid package to Ukraine? It has nothing to do with the plight of Argentinians. It has everything to do with billionaire hedge funds who got over-levered into Argentina and now are standing to lose billions there unless the U.S. comes and props up the Argentinian currency. That's what it's about. It is only and ever about the freaking money and the billionaires. So he's taking out of your pocket to prop up the Argentinian currency to benefit the billionaire bro club. That's what's going on here. By the way, again, this is according to reporting by the New York Times. Last week, when Mr. Trump met with Javier Milei, the president of Argentina, to discuss the financial package that the Treasury Department has proposed, the president sounded a different tune. Just helping a great philosophy take over a great country, Trump said. Should we parse that a wee bit together, shall we? Just helping a great philosophy take over a great country. What great philosophy is this? Oh, by the way, this guy, Javier Milei, he's a Trump ally and a very, very, very far right, kind of alt-right conservative. So let's get this straight. I'm helping an alt-right Argentinian conservative birthed in my own image, quote, take over. It's weird what comes flying out of his mouth, isn't it? Like, oh gosh, he doesn't mean take over. There's supposed to be a demand. Yes, he means take over, because guess what he's doing here, folks? Taking over, violating the Constitution every day. Take over a great country. Then he went on to this insightful, like uber intelligent breakdown of the delicate economic situation that's been plaguing Argentina for what? Oh, by the way, decades. Argentina is one of the most beautiful countries that I've ever seen. And we want to see it succeed. Very simple. Very simple. It's my beautiful country. Again, if this is the decision line or the decision rule, there's beautiful countries all over the place. Note what he's not talking about. He's not talking about what's wrong with the peso. The day after this meeting, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent doubled down on the administration's commitment to Argentina, which is heavily indebted, perennially troubled. This has been going on with the Argentinian peso, again, for decades. It goes back to the time that I was in graduate school in the late 90s. And why would we care about the Argentinian peso? To put this in perspective, the U.S. exported a measly $16.5 billion worth of goods and services to Argentina. We're just going to give them $20 billion. They can just buy our goods back from us. We'll just give them 20 bills. That's fine. $16.5 billion exported to Argentina last year, compared to $384 billion with Mexico and $80 billion with Brazil. And then Scott Bessent says, actually, he's cooking up an additional $20 billion, so $40 billion. to Argentina, but this one is supposed to be financed by banks and investment funds rather than the U.S. taxpayer. But I want to just throw this out there for some debate and thinking. Banks and investment funds don't give money away for nothing. So, like, what's the collateral? Are they buying an interest in the Argentinian government? Are they buying pesos? Well, what happens if the peso continues in its free fall and inflation explodes and then, you know, goods disappear and there's bread lines and sort of riots in Argentina? How are they? Like, again, I don't know banks and investment funds read hedge funds to just give away billions of dollars. They usually want something in return. So I wonder if the U.S. banks and hedge funds' additional $20 billion in investment, air quotes, I don't know what they're investing in, announced by Treasury Secretary Bessent, I wonder if that goes completely south. In other words, it blows up, it doesn't start the stop the Argentinian peso's free fall. I wonder if the Trump administration might again help out the billionaire boys club. And it just, I'm just asking questions here. By the way, the president of Argentina has appeared at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee, like annual, their big annual jamboree. This is the guy that gave the chainsaw to billionaire bro of billionaire bros, Elon Musk. It's this guy. By the way, I think Elon Musk and Sean Duffy, the transportation secretary, are not on good terms, not going well. Elon Musk, I think, just called him Sean Dummy instead of his name, Sean Duffy, just as a little aside. Here are some of the policies of the president of Argentina that ultimately has led their economy into a death spiral. See if any of this sounds familiar. Massive spending cuts across Argentina's federal government, slashing public pensions, firing thousands of public sector workers, slashing programs that help folks in poverty or in need. Does any of that sound at all vaguely familiar? I don't know how to emphasize how incredibly foolhardy and stupid this is. And lest any conservative get on the phone and call me up about the investment that the Clinton administration made in Argentina back in 1995. Not in Argentina. It was to Mexico in 1995. It's because of the trading relationship with Mexico. It also went through a whole vetting process through the Exchange Stabilization Fund. It's very different. It also involved the IMF, which is the International Monetary Fund, back in 1995. It's very different. Here's what the former chief economist at the IMF said about this boondoggle, this billionaire boys club giveaway funded by U.S. taxpayers that's ostensibly about helping this beautiful country, Argentina, whether it's $20 billion, maybe it's $40 billion. Here's what he said, quote, "What's worrisome here is that Trump and Bessette are repeatedly saying that we will be there in Argentina for the long term and we will do whatever it takes. He is effectively saying to foreign investors, you will be able to get out whole. That means it's really $40 billion that U.S. taxpayers are on the hook for. What an abomination. I've saved the best for last. We got a little shutdown update coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We'll take your calls as well. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Also, Argentina, that's where all the Nazis went after World War II. Just saying. Stay tuned, everybody.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government
buy-in for the people. In 2023, under pressure from election conspiracy activists, Texas and 9 other red states left the multi-state cooperative called ERIC, which helped to keep state voter rolls clean. 2 years later, local election officials are asking Texas state election officials for immediate fixes to its reportedly erratic homegrown voter registration system called TEAM. Governor Greg Abbott signed SB 1070 in June 2023, authorizing state officials to create a state-run interstate voter registration cross-check system. Over 2 years later, and on the eve of the TEAM system's rollout, VoteBeat Texas reports that 4 organizations representing Texas election officials cited inconsistent system behavior, only intermittent and under-resourced support, and statewide training gaps. Just last month, Texas Secretary of State Jane Nelson announced agreements with 9 states to share and compare voter registration data in an effort to replace the Electronic Registration Information Center's sophisticated data processing capability to identify voters who moved, died, or registered in more than one state. The Texas election officials said in their letter, "The current state of the TEAM rollout creates undue risk to voters and the integrity of election officials," and urged action before November 4th. We've linked to local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Businesses across the state counting on $1.5 billion in federal funding are finding out it's not coming. The money had been approved to help pay for energy-saving projects, solar and wind development, technology innovation, and more. The Department of Energy is now reportedly canceling those awards. One group that is getting a boost in federal funding, AI data center developers. The new federal budget lets tech companies claim more upfront tax breaks on data center equipment, facilities, and production lines, and it appears to be working. Microsoft recently announced what it calls the world's most powerful AI data center planned for Mount Pleasant, but environmental groups warn unfettered AI development could cause lasting harm to our natural resources. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. We have reached the last segment of this Tuesday show. Boy, time flies when I'm hanging out with each and every one of you. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. One last, excuse me, little tidbit about the Argentina problem. So the $20 or $40 billion that we're giving Argentina, here's what reporting from the Wall Street Journal says. That's welcome news for American hedge funds that have been investing in Argentinian assets. One such hedge fund is Discovery Capital Management, founded by Robert Citrone. Okay, so keep in mind, Discovery Capital Management, Robert Citrone. At the end of last month, it was pointed out by a financial journalist that Citrone used to work with whom? Scott Bessent. Ah, yes. Back for years, starting in 2013. And whom did they both work for? George Soros, the boogeyman of conservative nightmares. After that reporting from this financial journalist about Scott Bessent's working relationship with Citrone, the guy that owns one of these major hedge funds that has taken this massive position in Argentina that Trump is now giving 20 or maybe 40 billion of taxpayer funds to help prop up a peso, even though Argentina only imports less than $20 billion in U.S. goods every year. But maybe it's because the guy is like a mini Trump in Argentina. Oh, and maybe because all of the Trump-style policies that that president put in place in Argentina did what? Crushed the middle class and tanked their economy, and now the Argentinian peso is in free fall? Okay, after all that came out, the New York Times then reported that Citrone was, quote, in close contact with Treasury Secretary Bessent in the lead-up to the Treasury announcement of the $20 billion taxpayer-funded bailout to Argentina when it was announced last month. So, you know, they were talking a little. I wonder what they were talking about. And again, I can't believe I'm saying this. Even Marjorie Taylor Greene got this one right. She's been posting on X, Americans are getting decimated with the high cost of living and skyrocketing insurance costs. Many of them have zero savings and some are maxing out credit cards to survive. Tell me how it's America first to bail out a foreign country with 20 or even 40 billion in taxpayer dollars. Pretty good question, Marjorie. Just saying. Troy from Mount Horeb, how you doing, friend? Welcome to the show. What you got for us?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good, friend.
Good, good. So the Kansas City Star wrote an article, Kansas, Missouri farmers went big for Trump as tariffs are cutting them. So a friend of mine posted that on Facebook, and a friend of hers, as a farmer, I can tell you that it's categorically false. Commodity prices are nothing special, but there are no farmers out there blaming tariffs. And I said to him, well, they should blame the tariffs. They should be blaming the tariffs. And he said to me, no, sir, farmers are doing better right now than the majority of Biden's 4 years. Don't open your mouth about something you know nothing about. So
it's
a farmer. This is a farmer up in El Dorado. So
yeah, it's amazing to me. Thanks, Troy. We've got sounds of farmers saying exactly the opposite. The collective delusion, right, that reinforces itself every day that I can't get through when I talk to conservatives or when I try to text with them and I'm being specific about things and they're like, but Biden and the border, blah, blah, blah. If we can't actually look at the fact that soybeans are not being exported and talk about reality with farmers, if we can't talk about the facts, we can't talk about or at least say together, yes, these are the facts. Now let's argue about what to do about them, or maybe try to start with our values and what we want the world to look like and then deal with the facts and then have an argument about the hows. It's the delusion has permeated the ability to be able to have any meaningful political discourse. Again, I talked about this yesterday. It's why when I have debates with conservatives, they bounce from subject to subject. It's a litany of sort of grievances and things. But what about, but what? It's all whataboutism. And we can't break through that right now. So a farmer who is objectively by any fact-based metric doing worse now than they were during the Biden administration, especially the last 2 years, and by the way, Biden was cleaning up the Donald Trump COVID mess, and the inflation mess. By the way, inflation peaked in, I believe it was June of Biden's first year on the job. Tell me whose inflation that is. Can't break through the delusion cycle. I'm not sure what to do about it except trying to get on the air with you folks every day and talk some facts. And here's the fact that we always need to remember. There's only one guy, one individual that is responsible for the shutdown, and it's this guy.
Who's going to bear the brunt of the responsibility if indeed there is a shutdown of our government?
Well, if you say who gets fired, it always has to be the top. I mean, problems start from the top, and they have to get solved from the top. And the president's the leader, and he's got to get everybody in a room, and he's got to lead. You know, the interesting thing is in 25 years and 50 years and 100 years from now, when the government is, you know, they talk about the government shutdown, they're going to be talking about the president of the United States.
Of course they will, because according to Donald Trump himself, that's who is responsible. You got to come to the table. You got to bring the people together. You got to negotiate. You got to actually have a negotiation. It's hard to negotiate when you're in the middle of a delusion. Just saying. That's going to do it for me, folks. Stay tuned. We got a little Peach Schwabba Nightlight coming up next. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together for the facts.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump are pressing for his Justice Department to pay roughly $230 million as a settlement for investigations he faced during the Biden administration and during his first term in office. That according to sources familiar with the matter. ABC's Catherine Falders has more.
We don't know if he's picking up the phone every day and calling Pam Bondi, the attorney general, and saying, get this done. But the reality is the people who would make these decisions and sign off on it are the people who represented him in the investigations that he is seeking settlement money over.
Plans are off for President Trump to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Hungary or the immediate future. The White House says Secretary of State Marco Rubio held a call earlier with Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, calling it productive. ABC News has learned Lavrov made it clear Russia opposed President Trump's suggestion to freeze the fighting in Ukraine on the front line. The government shutdown dragging into a fourth week. The Senate will take up another vote again tomorrow, aiming to end the shutdown. This is ABC News.